Welcome to the deep dive. So our goal today, it's pretty straightforward. Give you that shortcut to really understanding digital transformation strategy. We're jumping straight into composable commerce, looking at how businesses are finally getting that real flexibility and speed they need in e-commerce.
Yeah, composable commerce is definitely the architectural shift people are buzzing about. Fundamentally, it's about decoupling. So instead of this one huge, all-in-one system, you actually assemble specialized, best-of-breed software components.
Okay, like what kind of components?
Things like your search function, the checkout process, your CMS, your PIM, that's Product Information Management Analytics, all those specialized pieces. And the key is they connect seamlessly using APIs and microservices.
That makes sense, conceptually anyway. But why the big push now? What's the real pressure forcing companies off these platforms they've had for years?
Well, it really comes down to sheer pace. Customer expectations.
Yeah.
They've just completely outrun the old technology stacks. We've seen data that really highlights this urgency. I mean, something like 56% of customers.
Yeah.
They demand sophisticated personalization everywhere now.
56%. Okay.
But if you want a direct link to revenue, think about this. Deloitte found that just shaving 100 milliseconds, that's a tenth of a second off pinch load time. That can lift retail conversions by 8%.
Wait, hang on. Just one-tenth of a second gets you an 8% lift? That's huge. That's not just tweaking things. That's a revenue driver right there. So if speed's the symptom, what was the underlying, sickness in those old monolithic systems?
The sickness was basically interdependence. Everything was tangled together. These legacy monoliths, they meant agonizingly slow time to market. Seriously, it could take weeks, sometimes longer, just to ship a new checkout feature or a simple pricing update.
Weeks? Wow.
Yeah, because any change, even a small one, could potentially impact everything else. It created this one massive crushing backlog that just bottlenecked every single launch. That sounds like a technical nightmare. And you mentioned scaling before. If you didn't massively over-provision for peaks like Black Friday,
the whole thing could just crash. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which then forced you into this severe vendor lock-in situation. But your point about managing lots of services is fair. Aren't you just trading one big headache for like 100 smaller ones?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, that's the crucial distinction. The composable advantage isn't about more complexity overall. It's about gaining autonomy. You get real agility through independent release trains. So marketing, they can roll out new campaign features in days, not drag things out for quarters because they're only updating their specialized service.
Okay. So true scalability, that means you only scale the parts that are actually busy. Like the hot paths.
Precisely. If your search traffic suddenly spikes, you just auto-scale the search service. That isolates potential failures and, importantly, significantly cuts down your peak infrastructure costs. But maybe the biggest long-term win, it's continuous modernization. This kind of architecture gives you what we call future optionality. Future optionality, meaning
you don't get trapped in that painful, expensive, full replatforming cycle every few years. Instead, as new things emerge, like AI features or new sales channels, you just swap out or add a relevant part, not rebuild the entire engine.
Okay, so let's say a leader listening to this is convinced. They see the benefit. How do they actually start? What's the practical, risk-averse way to adopt this?
Right. You definitely don't just flip a switch. It has to be staged. Step one is usually a technology audit. Really map out your customer journeys and your key business KPIs, and then link those to your current technical bottlenecks. Mm-hmm. Quantify the pain, like how long does it take to deploy a critical change right now?
And then the implementation strategy. You mentioned that great phrase earlier, strangle the monolith.
That's the core idea, yeah.
Yeah.
You start by putting a new modern storefront, a headless experience layer in front of the old system. Then, piece by piece, you gradually carve out those high-value domains like search or pricing or payments and put them behind stable APIs. You essentially run old and new side by side for a while.
Until the new composable parts just take over.
Exactly. Until the monolith is effectively strangled.
But this isn't just about buying tech, is it? The team structure, the whole culture, that has to change pretty dramatically too.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge shift. You need new specialized roles. People like solution architects, who are critical for defining and managing those domain boundaries. You need integration engineers focused on connecting to essential backend systems, your ERP for inventory and financials, your CDP for customer data. And you definitely need strong SRE and DevOps practices, that's site reliability engineering and development operations, really focused on automation, monitoring, keeping everything running smoothly.
Okay, so when you run the numbers, factor in the tech, the team changes. What's the ultimate payoff for a leader who navigates this shift successfully?
Well, Composable commerce really is the modern way to achieve durable, differentiated growth. That's the bottom line. You get much faster change cycles, you maintain actual control over your technology roadmap, and crucially, you avoid mortgaging your entire future to the limitations of one single all-encompassing vendor.
Which brings us to our final thought for you today. Composable is actually deeper than just system architecture. It's really an operating philosophy. It aligns perfectly with how the cloud is fundamentally designed to work. So for leaders, maybe the question isn't if you'll eventually need to decompose that big monolithic system, but how you'll stage that journey to maximize the learning and, critically, minimize the business risk along the way.